2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Somebody help me read the rest of that. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is anybody in the house happy about that? That God took a big eraser and said, no, we're not going to talk about that anymore. We're not going to look at that anymore. It's like it never happened. Hallelujah. It's like it never happened. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And now you're an ambassador for Christ. And let me tell everyone that's just given your heart to Christ. And by the way, for the last 3 months, we've had someone give their heart to Christ every single Tuesday night for 3 months. Can you give God praise for that? Amen. Last week, 6 people gave their heart to Christ just last week in the service. And we give God praise for that. But for all of you who are just coming to the Lord, I want to tell you, you're the greatest soul winners in the world. Because you still have a lot of friends that don't know Christ. And you can bring them to Christ like nobody else can bring them to Christ. Because when you come to Christ, you become his ambassador. And that's the inflow of the Holy Spirit. But see, there's another part of the Holy Spirit that is called the outflow of the Holy Spirit. So notice I said that when you're born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes inside. Now I realize I grew up in an old fashioned Pentecostal church, and they believe in being saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Anybody remember that? And that's kind of what they called it. And I was really confused about that because it was like saved meant Jesus was in my heart, okay? So I get that part, but I really didn't get that part because he was my intercessor in heaven, so I was a little confused there. Jesus is in my heart, and sanctified means I'm not doing bad things anymore, so I've been set apart. And of course, in my church, you had to get sanctified every time you come to church because it's just one of those kind of churches. It's like they believed that nobody was really good and sanctified until you get another dip down, you know. So I remember one time, can I just digress for a second? I'll tell you what kind of church I grew up in. So I grew up in a church that everything was a sin, right? Everything was wrong and everything was a sin. And so I just thought, man, what is this sin thing? Because I was 5 years old, my parents started going to church, and I don't really remember life without church. And I was about 12, 13 years old at the time. And so me and 3 other kids in the church, we were going for a walk in the woods, and we found a cigarette butt, and it had about that much left on it, and we all got tempted at the same time. And so we thought, well, you know what, they're so hard on cigarettes, that might be pretty good, you know. We were just so curious about it, so we picked up that old nasty cigarette butt. We don't even know who dropped the thing. We picked up that old nasty cigarette butt, and there was 3 of us, or 4 of us all together, me and Gene and Tony anyway, it was I won't tell on everybody. So there was 4 of us, and we found some matches somewhere. And we lit that thing up, and all of us took one puff apiece. And I remember taking that puff and said, boy, that's good. Woo, that's good. I mean, it really wasn't that good, but we weren't about to be the one that said it. I wasn't going to be the one that coughed. This is kind of a dare thing. So all 4 of us, we took a puff, and then it was a Sunday afternoon when we found this and did this. So we had to go to church on Sunday night. Every Sunday night at my church is pretty much the same. You're going to have a hard sermon that's going to make your feet burn because the flame of hells are going to reach up and grab you. And then you're going to get in the altar and pray. So we are all sitting on the back row because we thought we were backslid. And that's where you got to sit if you're backslid. No offense to anybody on the back row, right? But if you're on the back row, it's because you're backslid in that church. So we're all sitting back there on the back row. They're up, and I don't know if you know Brian Free and Assurance. He's a Southern gospel artist. His family did a lot of the music for our church. So Jim and Francis Free and Brian and all of them were up there. They were Mike, and they were all up there singing. And the Spirit was really moving, and me and those other 3 kids were sitting on the back. And this girl, she had real long blonde hair. Her name was Jean Grant. And I saw Gene getting under conviction. I thought, oh, no, because I was the pastor's son. And I knew, man, they might get it one time. I'm going to get it for a month, you know, so over this. And so Gene white-knuckled the seat in front of us, and she is holding on to that seat with everything she's got, and I am scared to death. And we're all saying, no, Gene, no, Gene. I mean, we're trying to talk her out of being convicted. No, Gene, you can't do it, Gene. And she's holding on. And all of a sudden, she started shaking that blonde hair, and she threw her head back, and she yelled to the top of her lungs, "We smoke!" That whole place got deathly quiet. They stopped playing, and it was like the all 40 of them did this at the same time. Well, they hadn't had a good backslider in a while in that altar. I'm telling you what, they brought the four of us up, and you talking about getting sanctified. They'd push us down, mess up our hair, shake our shoulders, rub our bellies, slap us on the jaws, all the stuff they did, slap a little oil on our head. And I mean, they were working us over. And then when we'd think it was over, they'd ask you a trick question because they knew there was no answer to it. They'd say, "Are you satisfied?" They knew if you said yes, they was going to pray the pride out of you. So if you said yes, no, you got pride. You can't be satisfied. It's like there's no way to answer that question. And if you say no, they push you down for another dip, and they get all over you again. I mean, this went on and 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 on. Believe me, it got every smoking demon out of me. I don't know if that still works, but it worked for me. I'll tell you what, it was... Our church believed in sanctification, man. And I was so confused growing up because I'm thinking, save, sanctify, fill the Holy Ghost. So I thought that after I got sanctified enough, if I was clean enough, that finally the Holy Ghost would come in. And I always felt guilty when I would go down and pray and I wouldn't get the Holy Ghost. Something's got to be wrong with me. Everybody's got the Holy Ghost but me. Something's got to be wrong with me. And no one ever told me he was already there. No one ever told me, wait a minute, you can't even be saved without the Holy Spirit. What do you think awakened your spirit? What do you think gave you joy? What do you think started leading you and guiding you? You were filled with the Holy Spirit. You were indwelt by the Holy Spirit when you asked Jesus Christ into your heart. The inflow is the awakening. But now I need the outflow, because the Bible said that when you are baptized in the water, he said, now all of a sudden, listen to what Jesus said. On the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Okay, get this. The first thing you have to do is drink. Everybody say inflow. It doesn't work until you drink it first. You drink it first. It's like priming the pump. Come to me and drink. That means I'm saved. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart or his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he concerning the Spirit of those whom believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He said, once the Holy Spirit is in you, he begins to flow out of you. So the outflow of the Holy Spirit is what we call being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm already indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but now there's a spring inside of me that starts springing up. And now before I know it, there's a river that is flowing out of me. And I don't want to go into a Greek lesson tonight, but you know, we see the word heart there in the New King James Version, and the Old King James uses the word belly, but it's because they really don't know. I mean, it's like a lot of words. It has lots of meanings, but the actual Greek word there means womb. And I think they wanted to translate it into belly and to heart because they thought it would leave the men out, because it says out of a womb will flow rivers of living water. That means that when I get filled with the Holy Spirit, I begin to birth something. There's my water begins to break, and there are new things that come out of me. That is why being filled with the Holy Spirit is not him coming in. It's him coming out. Now there's a language coming out. Now there's a boldness coming out. Now there's a prayer coming out. Now there's a scripture coming out. Now there's a gift coming out. Because when I get and filled with the Holy Spirit, he doesn't just leave me on my own. There is a brand new power in me that begins to flow out of me. Because of the Holy Spirit, there's a boldness inside of me that swells up inside of me because of the Holy Spirit. And there is a language of prayer and a language of praise that flows out of me because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
I was in El Salvador one time, and I'd gone up to this mountain to preach, and I was with a guy named Al Pache. He was a young minister, and he wanted to go up there, and there was not very many people in that service. I would say 17, 18 people in that service, and we had hiked a whole mountain to get up there and preach, and we were going to have to come back in the dark that night. So we're up there on this mountain, and Al is up there preaching on being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm looking around thinking, well, he got 17 people here. I don't know if anybody's going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what he wanted to preach on. So at the end, he said, does anybody need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Of course, he's got an interpreter, you know, that's saying all this, translator. And these two little boys come up. One little boy was probably about 8. I'd say the other was 9, you know, or maybe 7, 8, 9 years old, in that range, little bitty boys. And I've never seen boys pray like that in all my life. I mean, when he told them to start praying, these little boys, I mean, they gritted their teeth and they pounded their fists and their face got red. And with everything in their gut, they started praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, one of them threw up his arms and said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Well, I'm sitting there and I said, oh, somebody must have taught him an English phrase. And the translator said, no. He said, I've known that little boy my whole life. He's never spoken one word of English in his whole life. He said, he just got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord let you hear it in your language to verify to you that that 8-year-old little boy just got filled with the Holy Spirit. The next thing I know, the little boy next to him raises up both hands. He's young just like the other one. He says, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my rock, in my fortress, in him will I trust. And the missionary with us said, neither one of these boys have ever spoken a word English in their life. They just got filled with the language of the Spirit, and God wanted you to be a witness so that you could give legitimacy to this moment for the rest of your life. I want to tell you, it's more than a quaking of the hand. It's more than a feeling of the belly. He is real, and his language is real, and his blessings are real. And when the Holy Spirit comes out of you, he wants to give you gifts that flow out of you. One of those is a language. But maybe you need one of these gifts. Maybe you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you think, well, I could use one of these. Listen to what he gives you. I know we have all kinds of theology that mixes these up and makes them sound a little spooky. So I've just made it real simple. Here's what he said he would give you. Knowledge. Anybody need knowledge? He said he'll give you knowledge. Faith. Anybody need faith? He'll give you faith. Healing. Anybody need healing? Notice he doesn't just say you can heal others. He said gifts of healing. First of all, that might mean you get healed. That might be your gift that you get healed. It doesn't always mean, because it says gifts of healing. It's actually the only one that's plural. And it says gifts of healing. And then he said miracles. So how about miracles? Anybody need miracles? And then he says prophecy. He said discernment. How many? I think we all need discernment, especially living in America right now. We all need discernment. He said he could give you other languages, just like he gives some people, not just a tongue, a language in the tongue, but God has poured entire languages into people's lives before who never went to school, like Dr. Mark Rutland, who speaks perfect Spanish. The Lord gave it to him in Mexico on a missions trip because his translator got sick, and the Lord poured the entire Spanish language into him. And today, he can speak as fluent Spanish as anybody and never studied it one time. He just speaks fluent Spanish. This guy's still alive. He's actually preached here in Cleveland not too long ago. And he speaks fluent Spanish because the Holy Spirit poured the language. Y'all pray that the Lord does that to me. ISO Espanol needs a fluent Spanish president, right? So I really need that gift operating in me better than it is right now. He said he gives you gifts of administration, gifts of hospitality. He'll give you the gifts to teach, gift of revelations. I had a young man ask me, I was preaching in Tampa this week, and he said, I want to know why you see things in the Bible that I don't see. And I said, well, everybody's gift is different, and my gift is revelation. So the Lord shows me things. I said, I see the lint in the corner when I read the scriptures. I don't just see what you see. I don't see the literal part. I see layers, and I see what's happening in every layer. When I walk into a scripture, I smell smells in the room. I feel like I'm in the room. I can get cut on the glass when the alabaster box breaks because it's just so intense with me. I just get this revelation of the moment and what God is doing, and it allows me to see things a little different way because that is a gift of the Spirit. He gives you the ability to lead. And you know, there's some people that their gift of the Spirit is generosity. They are the ones who bring provision for the vision. I call them the Josephs of the kingdom. God anoints them because he knows they will bring provision for the vision. And God anoints some people with the gift of generosity. And he knows the more they give. And the people that I know that do that, they can't give enough away because every time they empty the barrel, God fills it back up again and again and again and again and again. It's amazing what they do. So that is life in the inflow and the outflow. But there is another level of the Spirit that sometimes we don't understand, and that is the overflow. The overflow means that now that I am Spirit-filled, I am contagious. How many of you know that that person next to you is contagious? How many of you know that if they start praising, you'll get blessed because they're praising? You didn't do anything. You weren't on a fast. You weren't on a prayer. How many of you know that if the person next to you is on a fast and the Holy Spirit's moving through them, all you got to do is sit down beside of them and God will bless you because something is overflowing from their life into your life? And that is what we call living in the overflow. Living in the overflow answers basically one question. The question is not, do you have the Holy Spirit? The question is this: does the Holy Spirit have you? I know there's a lot of people that say, I got the Holy Spirit. That's not my question. Does the Holy Spirit have you? Can the Holy Spirit say, I want you to buy this person's meal? Can the Holy Spirit say, I want you to take off that new dress and give it to that girl that doesn't have a good dress, and I want you to give it to her because I'm speaking to you right now? Can the Holy Spirit say, I want you to go over there and sit with that lonely person at the table, and I want you to lead them to the Lord because they're searching for something that you have already found? Can the Holy Spirit say, I want you to get up and declare the goodness of God and give somebody your testimony? I want you to reach your hand across the countertop at the Walgreens and ask the girl behind the counter if she needs prayer today. Can the Holy Spirit use you to tell the waitress the waitress who waits in your table, I'm getting ready to pray. Is there anything in your life that I can pray about as I pray over my meal? Can the Holy Spirit do that through you? Can the Holy Spirit say, I want you to fill up that guy's gas with I want you to fill up that guy's car with gas because he doesn't have enough money? Can you do that? Does the Holy Spirit have you? Because when you begin to live in the overflow, there is something. Yes, I love that the Holy Spirit's in me, and I love that the Holy Spirit flows out of me, but there's something amazing that begins to happen when what's in me begins to affect other people all around me, and everybody start getting blessed because of the overflow.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.